Praise God. God is good. He's always there for us. There's something about communication, communing with him, forming relationship with him, and just watching that grow. That's a cool thing about relationship. You know, it continues to grow. The more time and effort and just time, really, is the main key. More time spent in a relationship, the more it grows and the more powerful it becomes and the more potential it can have. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Be humble. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. This first section, the first five verses here, this is the words of King Solomon. He wrote most of Proverbs, and it's filled with a lot of wisdom, a lot of teaching. So a lot of the verses talk about my son. He's constantly saying my son. I'm not sure if that's literally for his son or for a group of people that he's trying to, you know, train and pass down wisdom and understanding to, but I'll take it as a son relationship. But he's explaining things about life. He's explaining tendencies and foundational concepts to his son or to whoever was coming up under him. There's a lot of wisdom, and wisdom passes itself on. It takes wisdom to see that I'm temporal, I'm getting older, I'm going to pass on eventually, and if the things that I've learned over the years, if they're not passed on to the next generation and they're not taught to the next group coming behind me, then those things will be lost, and the next generation will have to figure them out by themselves. So here Solomon's trying to set that example and teach his son. So he's saying in verse 1, if you're surety for thy friend. So it's talking about surety or security. Basically, if you go to the bank and try to get a loan and you have bad credit, the bank won't give you any money, then you have to find somebody that has good credit. And you say, hey, you want to help me? I really need your help here. I want to buy this thing, but they don't trust me. So they trust you. So would you come in with me on this and be the co-signer? So they bring their credit, and though you're paying the bills and making the payments, generally there's someone who is security for you. Just in case that faults, then the bank has someone there to make sure that their money is paid back to them, and they can go after someone else, someone who's more has better credit. So this is in general talking about that type of situation. It's talking about being security for your neighbor, being the co-signer, if you will, for your neighbor. And it's saying about the dangers in this. There's danger here. If you're in this type of situation, try to get out of it as soon as possible. You know, you don't want to be in that spot. And I know, you know, when I was, high school age, graduating, I didn't have any credit. And I really didn't make any, large purchases soon after that. But it's common for someone just starting out, for their parents to assist with credit, since since they don't have a lot of credit going on at that point. But this is talking more on a grown-up aspect, okay? It's talking more about your neighbor, right? All right, so it's talking, so we have that concept. And then the very next verse, in verse 6. So separate yourself from that situation. Verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I don't know who this is for tonight. It's something that was brought to my attention through what it talks about there in verse 6. Go to the ant. A couple of weeks ago at work, we were having a picnic or a potluck. We generally have those, celebrate people's birthdays, and just a way of team building, you know, do something outside of your work just to get to know people and get along with them a little better, build a relationship. So we had a picnic or a potluck, and at the end of the day, you know, we kind of leave the things out to go pick out them as the day goes on to finish out the leftovers. And I looked down on the floor, and there was a tortilla chip. And it was just sitting right there in the middle of the floor. And I was like, ah, somebody dropped the chip. And then all of a sudden, it moved. Whoa, wait a second here. Is this a holy chip? You know, there's something I don't know here, so let's get a better look. So I took a couple steps closer, and you couldn't see it from a distance, but underneath the chip, there were about 20 tiny little black ants. Really, really tiny. I think they call them sugar ants. Real tiny little ant, probably the smallest ant I've ever seen, but there were 20 of these little guys underneath this one tortilla chip, and they were doing all they could to drag this chip to the wall. There wasn't a lot of ants around. They were just all underneath this one chip trying to move it. And they were making progress until we decided to stop them. So that was kind of fun. We were a little entertained and went on with our day. And someone found some spray and put it down. That was so much for that. Well, the next day, along the wall, right next to my desk, was a few ants. I'm like, hey, so-and-so, there's more ants over here. And one thing led to another, and say, hey, let's just, you know, help them out this time. We're going to have to call the prevention people, you know, for them to come out and exterminate or whatever, put their stuff down to take care of them. But let's just help them out for now. So somebody took a kernel of popcorn and put it down there alongside the wall and said, let's just see what happens. Let's just kind of monitor it and see how long it takes. And sure enough, within 30 minutes, it went from one ant or a couple of ants in that area to that whole thing was covered in these little tiny ants in about 30 minutes. It was amazing. And it really piqued my interest. And I was like, wow, you know, ants are really, really amazing creatures. And so I got on the old Google and looked up a few things about ants. And it's really amazing. They're truly amazing creatures. By the next morning, we left it out there that night. And like, let's just see what happens. And it was all chewed up and half of it was gone. And they were still working on the rest of it. And there's this one little ant trying to drag this huge, you know, piece of this popcorn through this little narrow hole. And it wouldn't work. They had to break it down a little more. But these ants were so given to their job. They're so dedicated. You know, this one little ant was dragging at that one piece and just pulling. It just wouldn't work, but he wouldn't give up. And until he got some help and they broke it down a little more. But back to verse 6, let's read it again. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Remember, we just read of, there's an ant right there. They knew I was talking about them tonight. We just read in the first 5 verses of be careful about co-signing for someone who's in a bad situation. It's giving a warning there. Now this is, it's practical for our lives, and it's spiritual as well. So it's kind of a multi-effect here. But how do you get into a bad situation financially? I don't want to step on anybody's toes here tonight. That's not the purpose. But in general, someone with good credit got that way through a process. Someone through bad credit got that way through a process, through decisions. And it's comparing. So it runs right into verse 6 here, comparing a sluggard and saying, sluggard, go look at the wise. Go look at the ant. How in verse 7, they have no guide, no overseer or ruler, yet they provide their meat in the summer and gather the food in the harvest. It's interesting in verse 8 where it speaks of the ant as the female. I learned that all the ants that you see running around, they're all female. All the worker ants, they're all female ants. And apparently Solomon knew that. But the ants, they all have their own job. I really suggest you do some reading into the ants. It's really a neat read. But the ants, they all have their own job. Some of them are soldiers. Some of them stand guard at their colony and protect their home. Most of the workers, depending on the species of ants, will go out and forage and look for food, way of sustaining the colony. I went to my chiropractor appointment a couple of days later, and in the waiting room they had, would you know, a documentary on ants. And it was documenting this ant in Africa that would cut grass. This one colony, one ant hill, would cut a half a ton of grass a year and harvest it a year. And every ant had a specific job. Some were cutters. All they would do all day was just cut grass and drop it to the floor. And then the porter ants would come up and take the part of the grass and haul it all the way to their colony. But you know, you don't see these generals standing out there and say, you go that way. Brother Ben, he's used to generals and the hierarchy of command. But you don't see these, you know, given directions and orders. You know, it's saying here, the ants, they don't have a, you know, someone ruling over them, explaining how they need to do. They just have a concept of work in them already. They understand that they need to be effective and to be a part of their colony. They have to work. All right. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. How does this relate to us spiritually? Talking about laborers. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. So this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. For ye are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So this is Paul addressing a group that they were identifying themselves with different leaders, you know, saying I'm of Paul or I'm of Apollos because they were a part of their ministry or perhaps had been led to Jesus through their ministry. And there was there's some factioning going on here. People identifying with one minister over another, maybe, and preferring one over another. And he's explaining to them how that they're carnal, and he was being simplistic with them because they were still young in the gospel and in the kingdom. So verse five, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Let's stop there. Ye are God's husbandry in his building. So it's saying, guys, he's telling the church in Corinth, we're all laborers together, but we're laboring also with God. We're not to compare each other based on the work that we're doing. We're all laborers together. We're building for a purpose. We're building for his kingdom. We're doing it together. And he gives the increase. He's the one who gets the glory for the increase. It all goes to him anyway. But we're his building. So we are his laborers, but yet we're what he's building on the earth. We're part of his kingdom, what he's building. He's talking about laborers, and the Lord's looking for laborers today. You know, there's a train of thought, I think it was the last verse, talked about being rewarded for your labors. Can you back up to verse 8? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There's definitely something to be said about someone who's willing to labor, someone who's willing to work, put their shoulder to the wheel and give them themselves. You know, some will take this and say, well, if I knock this many doors and if I do this and if I do that, and they start to quantify that and show what they expect to receive in return. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. That's the whole idea, is laboring with God. We're laboring in unison with him. So it's not of our own works that we're doing anything or receiving reward for, but we're laboring with him. We're just being available so that he can work through us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Matthew 9:37, this is Jesus talking. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I looked up that word send in verse 38, and the Greek word ekbalo means to eject, to bring forth, to cast forth, to drive out, to expel, to thrust out. On that little word send, there's force behind that word send. To expel, to cast out, to throw out, that means you're grabbing a hold of it and you're throwing them out there. It's not a friendly, okay, buddy, and it's time to go to work now, okay? You know, it's saying pray the Lord of the harvest to kick some people out into the fields. Do you pray that way? Do you pray that way about yourself? Lord, give me a good kick. Send me out there, throw me out, eject me, get me out of my comfort zone, get me out of what I'm used to doing. I want to be at a place where the Lord doesn't have to force me and send me in a way like that. I want to be sent, but not like that. I want to make myself available so that he can use me, build his kingdom. I want to be active, and I want to be at work, and I don't want to have to have him push me out and give me a little extra nudge. Sometimes we're a little offstandish and hesitant to be about his business. You know, sometimes we don't feel adequate. Sometimes we don't feel like we have the tools necessarily to get the job done. We may come across a situation that the Lord wants us to talk to somebody, you know, but, you know, I don't have all those verses down, and I don't remember all those verses about, you know, suicide. I don't remember how to communicate with someone like that. How can I reach someone like that? And we limit ourselves and limit our ability or God's ability to use us and build through us and work through us because we look down on ourselves as not being able to do that, not being able to complete the task. I would much rather work alongside someone that might be a little sloppy. You know, he might, if you're pounding nails next to somebody, you know, hard worker, but man, he misses a lot of nails. And as long as he doesn't hit my hand, I'll be okay. But I'd rather be alongside with someone who makes some mistakes than someone who just doesn't want to work. Than someone who's just sitting down. It's break time. Break time. No, it's still break time. God's looking for laborers. God's looking because he has a harvest, as he said in verse 37. There's a plenteous harvest, but he needs laborers. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how God always uses people. You know, he's all powerful God. He could touch every individual in the world in 1 second if he wanted to. His spirit is everywhere at all times. See, there is no limit to his power, yet he waits on people, and he uses people to reach other people. There is a harvest here. There is a harvest in each of our worlds that God has put us in, and testimonies like was shared tonight. That encourages me. That brings strength to me because I can see that God's using people to touch people. You know, when God uses you to bring his gospel to someone else, that gives you, just does something inside of you. It gives you strength. It gives you new energy. And man, that feels good. I want to be a part of more of that. I want to do more for God in that way. Don't make God send you. Just be available to him. He will use you. I promise you that. If you're obedient to his word and you're obedient to his spirit and his leading, I believe he is looking to use every one of us tonight. He knows where he's placed us. He has us there for his purpose. And I believe that he will use us. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Heiner. You can stand. While he was talking about those ants, I had a couple of thoughts. I flashed back to, we've been doing these character studies with Hadley. Anybody remember the Bill Gother books back in the day? Yeah. We've been going through those with Hadley, and it was amazing that one of the animals in there was the honeybee. And we read that thing about the honeybee, just incredible stuff about bees. But then we got about, I don't know, a million of them dropped off at the farm a couple weeks later. And just sit there and watch them do their thing is amazing. Every single one of them know what to do. One of the other farmers stopped by the house and we started talking, and he said, "Man, you guys are stealing all my bees." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I sit there in my apple orchards and watch them come to the cherries." He says, "They don't like apples. They like cherries, and they'll leave the apples and go to the cherries." So I don't know what to tell you. And I don't have a creative bone in my body. I've never been a creative person. I just don't. I'm a worker bee. I'm not a creative bee. I'm not a designer. I don't have a creative thinking mind. Hadley came to me a couple days ago, and she said, "Dad, a bird built a bird nest in the water hose holder on the side of the house. And I mean, birds just, I fight them all spring long. I don't want them on my house. I don't want their nest on my house. And so we have this war all spring long, keeping the birds off the house. Well, one snuck in to the hose holder. She bugged me for a couple of hours. And so finally I went out there with her and I took it out and I was amazed at the design intelligence of a little tiny bird. Because on the outside, it looked like this ridiculous mess of all these twigs and grass and hay and straw and garbage packed in my hose reel. But when I reached in there and I grabbed it and I pulled it out, in the middle of all that was this weaved, intertwined horsehair and rope and twigs and grass. And I'm like, this little creature, he created with the ability to do that. And I can't even draw a stick person. We serve an amazing God. What do you think about that? We serve an amazing God. And if you think that all that just happened, nobody in this room does, but if you think all that just happened one day, just boom, came into existence, man, you're missing all the signs. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Don't forget Friday night if you want to be a part of a cool event. They're going to see.